It's Thursday, August 28th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 975, 25 to go to 1,000, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a managed WordPress site for just $1 a month for 12 months and a free domain, or pick up a domain name today for $1.99. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everybody got a great show for you. And tonight, I'll try not to leave the screen up for like the last 20 minutes of the show. I got a great lineup for you tonight. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in.
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm glad you're here. Got a great tech show for you tonight. Lots of stuff on the lineup. And I want to give a big warm welcome to all of our Ohana. And of course, we got the Ohana source back here on the Skype 1, Skype 2 machine, basically watching over us, for those of you that are watching the show. But if you're brand new to Geek News Central, we want to encourage you to get subscribed to the show. It's real easy to do. All you got to really do is get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, that second column, that orange box, got all the links there to either subscribe via iTunes or to subscribe with an RSS feed. If you're on Android, we want you to just grab the Beyond Pod podcast app, search for Geek News Central, and you'll be able to subscribe right there on the app. That way, you'll never miss a single episode of the show. It's real important that you do that so that, hey, you can get this great content. Also, if you're so inclined, the newsletter link is on the website as well. You can get subscribed to the newsletter to the show. The newsletter really contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight. We have all the links that goes out immediately following the show. So it basically lands in your inbox, has a link to the media file that, for today's podcast, whether audio or video. And but we always definitely encourage you to come over to geeknewscentral.com and check everything out there as well, or subscribe via feeder or whatever RSS reader you're using. Well, I tell you, it's been a crazy, crazy, crazy week here. And I've got a lot to share with you guys here in just a few moments. But, you know, the most important thing is your feedback. And you can do that by really connecting with a multitudes of ways. Probably the best way is just email me here at the show directly, geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. You can definitely follow on Facebook and just search in Facebook for Todd Cochran. And you'll find me in Facebook and friend me, and I'll friend you back. And definitely on Facebook, I mean, it's on Google Plus as well. There's a Geek News Central dedicated page, and there's also just basically my standard profile page, and we have a special group for our insiders. So we definitely want to encourage folks to become an insider. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I tell you, this week has been a myriad of crazy things going on, and actually, I talked a little bit about some of the things, some decisions I've been trying to make on Facebook. And in the studio right now, I've got a tape measure. I've been talking about with you guys for a long time that the machine, my desktop machine, is on, it's really on its last leg. Now, like a knucklehead tonight, I didn't turn the other camera on, so I don't have that link so I can show you what's going on with the desktop. But for those of you that are listening, there's a keyboard at the edge of the desk. There's the switcher unit that's just a little bit in front. And then the screen is directly in front of me. And it's lower than what would normally be, people would normally have a screen. Normally I'd have it, you know, up about eye height, you know, it'd be up a little higher. But because of this camera right here, what's going on is I can't get it too high or the angle gets weird. So I was, you know, I'm measuring, you know, figuring out, okay, what's going to fit in here? Because I'd kind of settled on the iMac. and I wanted the 27-inch iMac. And the iMac, top of the iMac comes to just about where my hand is, for those of you who are watching, but really about 4 inches higher than what I'm really allowed. So I'm like, okay, that's not going to work. You know, hard to believe I've got a studio decision. You know, I'm picking a computer because of the studio, not because of something I want. And I really can't afford to get the cameras any higher. And so, you know, someone said, well, and I've got a MacBook Pro here that's got some legs on it still I've had since 2011. And I could just use that and use the monitor that I have existing as another monitor. And I don't think, based upon what I do, because I run two monitors. So that was my plan. I was going to put the iMac here, then use it to drive another monitor. We could still put stuff up on the screen like we do now. And basically all that is a mirror of my screen that I have. And so, you know, it doesn't work out completely. And one of the guys said, why don't you just get a Mac Mini? So I'm looking at the Mac Minis, and it's a little bit underpowered for what I'm going to use it for. And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm stuck at this point with a PC, because what I really wanted to do, and it was a stretch, was in my long-term thinking is, okay, buy the standard, buy that real nice 27-inch Thunderbolt monitor. I wouldn't be able to use it right away, or maybe just save up my money, and then at some point in the next year or so, maybe replace the Mac Pro down here and just use that as my full-time machine, because those new Mac Pros are a lot less energy pigs and everything. And at this point, I'm like back to my drawing board and, you know, dictated by what I buy for the studio based upon a, you know, the tape measure. And I thought, maybe I'll take drastic measures and cut a hole in my desk and make a little platform. It's just not going to work. So, I had my wife come in here, she's looking at it, and we're running a tape measure back and forth. And she's like, well, just raise the cameras. I'm like, I can't. They're already, you know, about 3 or 4 inches higher than I really want them. And she says, well, put the laptop in front of you. And I'm like, I can't, because it won't go back far enough. So, stupid things, because this is where I work too. You know, the studio is here, and at the same time, this is my workspace. And you know, in Hawaii, space is a premium. It's not like I can just like have another room. It doesn't work. We pay for the dirt. The dirt's worth more than the house is. So, the dirt that the house sits on, that is. So anyway, that's just one of those stupid things that's going on here this week from a. Trying to plan on what I'm going to do to replace this desktop machine. Maybe you guys have some ideas and come up with. Someone said, buy that $4,000 4K monitor from Dell that it will fit in this space. I'm like, no, that's not in the budget at all. But, you know, what could make it in the budget is if you guys really pull through for me here at the end of the month and really rock it hard with our sponsor over at GoDaddy. Or we have a great benefactor come in as a insider. But, you know, GoDaddy's been a sponsor here at Geek News Central really since July of 2005. And every month they put deals together. And I haven't heard of any new deals for next month yet. Tomorrow's really the day I should know what the new deals are going to be. So here's the skinny. We've still got all the great promo codes on right now. And if you go over to geeknewcentral.com/GoDaddy, you're going to find all the promo codes on that website. They're all there. All of them are active and listed. You know, I got that 32% off code. We've been running for, 3-4 months now with Go32Off1. And that's 32% off new purchases. 25% off your order, including new top-level domains, is Go25Off5. $1.99.com by using promo code GNC199. A $1 a month WordPress hosting press 4, and that includes a free domain. Same thing with a $1 a month economy hosting. And it's basically what the deal is there. You get 12 months, so it's $12 and a free domain for that free, basically it's essentially free for your WordPress or economy hosting. So definitely check all the codes out at geeknewcentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to save money. And every purchase that you make there that's a new purchase definitely helps the show out in a big way. And, you know, and I've also said, too, you know, the my how GoDaddy measures my performance is based on new accounts. So those of you, the existing users, we definitely appreciate when you use the code. It doesn't necessarily rack up, you know, anything for me besides, you know, basically a check mark that someone used the promo code. But it definitely all gets tracked. So we want to thank all of you that use promo codes and picked up new products and services at GoDaddy. And if you're not a GoDaddy customer already and set up an account, you know, do, you know, use the promo codes wisely and being able to save the most amount of money on a purchase. Now, I almost screwed up. I have one server that I'm going to retire. And it basically, for about a year and a half now, I've been kind of using it as like a place where I slap some files. And it's really hasn't been, it's been way underutilized. And, you know, it's like $1,500 or $1,600. I'm like, let's get rid of the dead weight. I don't need to use that machine anymore. And I had, you know, talked to Angelo, my CEO at Raw Voice, a couple of months ago. So we need to move that stuff off that machine and you know, put it in a different location because it's just data. There was no websites over there. And, well, there was a domain, but it's one I don't advertise. And, I just kind of happy joy going along. And I knew on the 14th of August that thing was basically not to be renewed anymore. And they sent me an email like 2 days ago. It was like, hey, dude, you know, this machine's getting ready to be killed. And I'm like, I didn't move that stuff. So I'm like in a panic because it's already like 15 days or 13 days over. And they give you like a 2 week, you know, leeway or so. And I rushed over there and did a 1 month renewal. And very, you know, that's when you do a 1 month there on a server, they, you know, they whack you hard no matter what promo code you use. And so I'm like, but still, we didn't lose that data. But that's one thing. It was good. You know, they had suspended the server. And it really what kind of tipped me off is I went over to a website and I said, why is that graphic not loading? And I was playing around and got me to thinking. And I went into email and I started looking and I'm, you know, my eyeballs got about 3 inches round. And so, yeah, expensive month for forgetting to tell someone to move the data so we could kill it. But, you know, that happens with services. Everyone has a variety of different services they use. And including myself. So sometimes you downsize, sometimes you increase. And this was a specific downsizing I was doing with that particular box. But anyway, all the promo codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So a little extended chit chat there on that I really didn't even plan, but just kind of came to me. So did you guys notice that the motif, those of you that are watching the video, did you notice there's a change, a color change to the studio? I've got these lights now and we've been playing with them. Now we were running blue for about a month and I said, well, let's try green. So I'm running green now in the room, obviously wearing a green shirt. So we've got a lot of green in the space, probably oversaturated, but, it's just kind of fun to change it up a little bit and do that. But so for those of you that are listening, you're like, I could care less, Todd. So it really has been a crazy week here. I've been out on the phone a lot. I mean, way a lot. I don't even know how many. It's like I've been putting, like by about noon my time, I'm putting the phone on the charger because it's, I've already killed like the main battery and I'm halfway through the backup battery and I'm plugging this thing on. It's been a really kind of a crazy nuts a week here. So in a good way, and lots of things that could be forthcoming soon. Really can't go any more detail on that, but it's been a good week, and things have been busy, but and it's all, you know, obviously business related. But as I can share, I will. But at this point, I can't. But it's all good. So if you are in Columbus, Ohio, if you know somebody in Columbus, Ohio, I'm hiring a marketing and salesperson. And it's a basically an entry-level position. So if you know someone in Columbus, have them email me, especially if they're marketing sales, preferably someone pretty fresh out of college, 1 or 2 years out of college. That's the type of, that's the entry level we're looking at. And we got a real cool job for somebody. I just got to find someone that's super motivated to fill the position. We're going to start interviewing very, very soon. So we definitely want, if you know someone, have them drop me a resume here, okay? I definitely would appreciate it. Okay, trade winds are on and off in Hawaii right now, and the temperature in this room is going to get about to about 200 degrees before the show's all over, and I already feel myself warming up. So if my face turns absolutely red, it's because it's hot. I got the fan going, but we're in these weird weather situation in Hawaii right now, and it's just crazy. So enough on that. Hey, on Saturday, we're going to have on the new media show, we're going to have Chris Messini from the LA Podfest is going to be on. And I've been spending a lot of time in traffic here in Hawaii. I know that's unrelated to the Saturday morning show, but I'm looking forward to not being on the road for the weekend. And of course, we've got the, I think Labor Day's coming up on Monday. I'm really not even following it, but for those in the United States, I have an extended weekend. But we want to thank all of you again that are on the show. We'll get into the tech here in just a second. For those of you new, we kind of do a chit-chat at the beginning of the show, and then we spend the next hour or so talking the tech news of the day. But we definitely want to have all of you consider becoming a part of our GNC 1000 and supporting the show financially. We want you really to think about it, because I try to bring value for value, added value to you, so that you have good information, find good deals and so forth. And the folks, I've been watching for stuff. And if you guys are in the mode to buy some 4 terabyte hard drives right now, they're really cheap. I have a link for it up at the end of the show. But again, we'll talk about the Insider at the end of the program. But geeknewscenter.com/insider, part of our GNC 1000. Keep forgetting that I'm on that camera. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the stack here tonight. And I got some good stuff. It's been an interesting week. And I have to start off by talking about this bucket challenge. It's gotten a little, maybe it's calming down. It's gotten a little, to me, it's like a little bit out of control. And I understand people calling people out and so forth. You know, I think I would be, people would be much better served to just write a check. You know, if you don't want to do the ALS ice bucket challenge, you know, send them a check if you feel that you should so. But the ALS Association today is trying to trademark ice bucket challenge, despite having nothing to do with it originally. And, you know, it's been quite the story this whole month. It's certainly been fascinating to watch this promotion and how it's turned into a massive money raiser for research for ALS, sometimes called Lou Gehrig's disease. And obviously, all of us, if you've been on Facebook or any place, you've seen this before. But it's interesting that the ALS is trying to trademark the term. You know, I heard about the Ice Bucket Challenge back in maybe July from, and it was one of my cousins or something that was doing it. And I saw her do it on Facebook, and I was saying, well, that was kind of, and I really didn't even pay attention to it too close at the beginning. But it's interesting that they're trying to register the phrase, and yeah, I don't know, you know, they've been a beneficiary of people doing it. Maybe they feel they have a right to be able to do it, but you know, if they didn't invent it, it wasn't their, you know, wasn't their promotion. Seems kind of odd to me. So, but anyway, not to take away from the money that's being raised, for that organization. All right, let's talk a little bit here about iOS 6 and the mania, the WrestleMania iOS 6 event that's going to happen on September 9th, 2014. Because when I read stuff on the web about iOS 6, it reminds me of a WWE wrestling. It's the slap down. You know, that's kind of like that. You know, that's what I'm. And I, you know, you got to give it to Apple for being the hype monster. Yeah, they're really, really good at it. And so today, everyone's been analyzing. And I'll bring this up on the screen. They've been analyzing And CNET's got a rundown of it. They've been analyzing the Apple imitation. So, of course, the imitation is, everyone's, oh, what is this? So, you know, 9.9, so 6. Obviously, it's going to be version 6. And you know, they're looking at the font. And it's probably going to be, oh, there's going to be 2 iPhone 6s. Then they did some math. Just do 9 plus 9 plus 2 equals 14 equals 30. And that's the amount of years between now and the Mac unveiling in 84 at the Flint Center. Now, they're going back to the Flint Center to do this announcement. So you got to hand it to the marketing team over there. Let's just be honest. Okay, so you know they're sitting around. You know, how do we send out the invitation? You know, it's a 30-year anniversary of the introduction of the Mac. We're at the Flint Center. We're in 2014. You know, and you know, next thing you know, it's 9.9.2014. You add those together: 9 plus 9 plus 2 plus 14 equals 30. So, you know, you're like, okay, that was clever. And then you go into, and then they say, oh, we see a bird in the imitation. So, you know, either Apple's flying away or the announcement's being delivered by carrier pigeon. They are building a big white building next to the center. And then, say more, and that might be something to do with the Siri improvement or something. And you know, it just goes on and on, and then people are doing, you know, it's all gray tone. There's no colors in the imitation, and there's overabundance of gray, and you know, so you know, there's all kinds of things that are, you know, just it's amazing what people come up with. So it's a wish. So they say, more colors, more devices, abundance of gray. The imitation grayscale means something in the past. Apple decorated its invites with a burst of color for 5C. So wish basically sounds like watch. And so we've been all waiting for the iWatch, right? So wish, wash, watch. And it just goes on and on and on. And then they said, oh, it's a tent-like covering. And I'm just like, are we really... really, that?
This is WWE beatdown iOS 6, iPhone 6. You know,
it's it makes you go, And leave it to Apple pundits and Apple fanboys to, I don't think I'm creative enough to, number one, to have come up with something like this. And I guess that's why I don't work at Apple. Number two, I don't think I'd have had the time to, you know, to analyze the invitation. Everything they do, people are so insane about stuff Apple does that they are like, they dissect every word. And, you know, and you have to just hand it to the marketing folks. I've spent 3 minutes on this. Right? So they got me, right? Got me talking about it. Got you interested. You're like, wow, yeah, that's cool. And, me, and some of you are like rolling your eyes like, Todd, move on. But, you know, you have to hand it to these folks. Pretty smart marketing stuff. And it really, it is. And so anyway, we will see where the eye Phone 6 Mania WW or APPLE beatdown begins, you know. So there's also some news about pricing. Now, this is a little bit scary. So we know that Apple is going to introduce 2 new iPhones. The major difference between the two is believed to be the size, a 4.7 and a 5.5. It's reported that these are going to cost between $980 and $1,250 each. So $980 for the 4.7 and $1,250 for the 5.5. Now, that's a lot of money. That is a huge amount of increase. You know, the my wife's Samsung Galaxy S5, I think that on sale was $689. I think we bought that on, or maybe $679 we got it. And I'll admit, it's a beautiful phone, does a great job. I'm quite enamored with it. The only complaint that I have, it feels a little light, but, you know, it fits in your pocket fine. And if this comes out and the phone's $1,000, I don't think I'm going to go there, you know? Now, I'll be straight up, you know, my company pays for my iPhone. And, you know, the team will, this, and we're due for upgrades. We've been on, this is a, you know, previous version, not, you know, it's 2 years old, doesn't have the little thing on the, and still working well. Can't complain, except got a little battery issue, right? And my team will decide which way we go. I mean, probably Angela want an Android, you know, Brian probably want an iOS device. You know, and it all depends on what, you know, we'll probably do a wholesale replacement and business account that go down and Barry will pay cash for the phones and, or, you know, write him a check and off we'll go. But at $980 to $1,250 for, if the phone's that much, I'm thinking to myself, my God, five phones at $6,000. And, you know, that's real money. Whereas compared to, we could replace five phones with, you know, with all Androids, even if we went with the Galaxy S5s, you know, that's, you know, at the most $3,500 for five phones. So, for, you know, really it's a little bit of a shocker that this could be the price. And, you know, and with the phone carriers, you know, most of these phone carriers now want you to buy your phone. You know, they don't 2-year contract. You can still get a 2-year contract, but it's going to raise the price. Contract prices are going to go up. I don't see how they're going to get around it for that cost. And I think Apple's going to be pushing it if they're going to charge that much for the device. So time will tell, and we'll see here next week. Now, the big rumor that busted today, and of course, it's, you know, just like anything else, it's out there that may have NFC. A little bit late. You know, Android's had this for a while. So we'll see if NFC actually happens. You know, we'll keep our fingers crossed and Apple will catch up in that regard. But we'll see what a 2-year contract for the phone's pricing is and what new features. And maybe they're going to throw a watch in for $1,200. I doubt it. And if they do have the iWatch, what's this going to cost? My guess is the iWatch will be $399, just because they'll charge $100 extra or $150 extra just because it has Apple as the name of the company behind it. So the same thing, you know, same thing I'm considering here with the buying the iMac. I know I'm going to be paying a premium to, you know, buy that next machine, but I got to thinking about it. And I have to make an admission here. Part of what pushed me over the edge on deciding to go change my main desktop out to a Mac was when we went to the Apple store recently to get a new battery for a laptop that I, in my mind, thought was 3 years old and was actually 6 years old. And I was like, huh? That laptop's 6 years old? And it's running just as good as the day we bought it, except I needed a new battery. Now, the MacBook Pro that I have here, it's a 17-inch, and I'm holding on to this thing until it dies. You know, it's a 2011 model, so it's already, you know, 3 years and change. Or, well, not 3 years and change, but, you know, 2 years and change. So it's a great laptop, don't get me wrong. So, you know, I'm thinking about, okay, we had another Mac that died that was the first Intel Mac, and that was the first machine here that we've really killed. And that thing was like way long in the tooth. And I rarely get 4, 5, 6 years out of any computer. You know, on PCs that I've had, the one down here, it's, you know, I went and kind of looked up in the, because I had to go into the accounting program to look at when I bought it. And, you know, it's just a little bit over 4 years, and I'm having trouble with it. So I may pay a little more, but based upon the history that I've seen so far, I probably will get more time and more utilization out of it. Now, I might be wrong, and will that will my justification to buy the Mac go that way? It won't fit anyway, so there's, you know, I may end up with a PC regardless. But it is an interesting and you know, what you guys that have Macs, you know, what's your history? Are you guys seeing that your products last a lot longer than stuff that you've had with PCs? And because I know with PC laptops, it's 2-3 years, and I'm usually done with a PC laptop. That's, you know, pretty typical for me to kill them in 2-3 years. Now, of course, I don't use this MacBook Pro every day either, so it might be a different situation if I was lugging this thing around and banging it everywhere. You know, I take it on trips with me, but it might, you know, may not be as good for wear and tear either. All right, let's get off Mac. We'll switch gears here quite a little bit. We're going to talk just a little bit about an article today that was in the Washington Post talking about 14 years ago, the Department of Justice said letting one broadband company run half the country was a bad idea. So if we go back to 2000, we just got through worrying about the Y2K bug. The dot-com bubble was in full swing. And, you know, the year 2000 also happened to be when federal regulators approved a merger between two tech titans that some say should be instructive for the Justice Department, the FCC, as the two agencies review a current day proposal for Comcast to acquire Time Warner. Now, the 2000 merger, known as the AT&T Media One, offers some precedence here, and that was what was going on then. But really what they've said is, you know, Media One was a pretty popular company at the time. And but the Department of Justice said letting one broadband company run half the country was a bad idea. So what's changed since 2000? The lobby have spent a lot of money, and we haven't. And we don't have someone there to fight for us that's going into senators and representatives' offices every day and saying, if you don't make sure this gets approved, we're not going to, you know, you're going to see a deduction in the amount of money we're going to contribute to your campaign. So, you know, they don't say that, but I'm sure it's like wink, wink applied. And, you know how this situation works with these politicians, money talks, and these folks are doing that. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the merger, but a lot of companies have come out and made policy statements. 65 consumer groups filed opposition to Comcast merger. So, 65 consumer social justice media reform groups fired off a letter voicing their opposition. And the letter sent just as the FCC's open comment period ended earlier this week complains that the Comcast deal will eventually lead to an unprecedented gatekeeper control of our nation's telecommunication and media landscape, and giving Comcast history of failing to meet NBC merger conditions, many of which they themselves recommended. The groups argue that no amount of promises or conditions would be good enough to sway their concerns about the merger, and that the deal needs to be rejected outright. So that, you know, they're saying, hey, you know, they didn't abide by what they said they were going to do with the NBC stuff. So why should we trust them now? You know, and they got a really good point here. So we'll see where this leads as time goes on. Now, any of you do any business with JPMorgan Chase or Chase Banking? I do. So I was obviously concerned this morning when I saw the article about JPMorgan Chase having hackers altering bank records, deleting bank records, all kinds of monkey business going on. Matter of fact, it concerned me so much. And this has obviously happened not this week, but I basically, logged into our business account and kind of just snooped around a little bit and made sure everything was in order and that there were not any transactions there that shouldn't have been there. And obviously, the accountant and everything takes care of our stuff, and Barry, gets the statements and looks things over closely as well. But if you do business with Chase, you may have been hacked and you may be getting a letter. Now, this intrusion may have also expanded 7 of the world's top banks. And again, there's reports that hackers may have altered records. Getting access to bank records is pretty uncommon. But it's not unheard of for hackers. But, because they changed the logs to cover their tracks. But being able to change bank records is an interesting but really kind of a new approach to unlawful enrichment. And there's been reports of embezzlement and outright theft by malicious insiders since computerized banking records have been in existence. This case, however, involves outsiders, and they believe it probably was the Russians. But we don't think this was something done by an average cyber criminal, and it was probably someone did some social engineering and got something on one of the employees' computers and, got themselves in that way. But J.P. Morgan has not responded to requests for comments by CNET. And the lady at J.P. Morgan said, "We have multiple layers of defense to counteract any threats and constantly monitor fraud levels." Something is going to happen with the cyber attacks. It's going to cause some serious havoc. So, I recommend you guys, make sure if you don't get paper copies of your statements, at least log on to your bank, load the PDF up or whatever it is from a statement standpoint, print that statement out every month, and put that the same place as you put your taxes, have a record of it. We are so used to these days of using QuickBooks and automated check balancing programs. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing with online banking today. And I think, the traditional way back in, years gone by, people, and I'm sure many of you still do this, you balance your checkbook. You check off every, everything that goes through. But we live so electronically now, and we can see our bank statements, and you can look at every charge individually, and if you actually wrote a check in your online system, you usually can click on that and bring up the check and say, okay, yep, I wrote that check to the school or whoever it may be. And we kind of get, and I've even gotten to the point where I log in, I look at the balance, I look at, okay, there's a light bill, there's a water bill, there's the insurance, there's a house payment, go down through, and that's all good. I kind of cross-check the checks that have come in, and that's an automated payment. There's my life insurance payment, kind of leave it at that. Well, what happens, and some of you have turned off paper delivery of your statements. Now, I still get my statement delivered via the mail. I still have a paper copy that comes every month. So if you don't, print one of those off and keep it because, this bank stuff, you all of a sudden you wake up one morning and you have zero balance. And the night before, there was some digits in there. It's going to make for a long day, and you definitely want to have a statement of proof that how much was in there, and at least then you only have to worry about arguing with the bank over the last month or so, and if you've seen something go awry. So definitely print those statements, folks. I think paper is cheap. At the end of the year, if you don't need it, then shred it, but at least keep it on file a little bit so that, you protect yourself in case some of this craziness happens with the banks. All right, so I'm going to switch gears here completely and go into one of my long favorite topics that I haven't talked about in a while. And I want to talk a little bit about the MPAA. MPAA research is basically saying, hey, we haven't been able to stop people from stealing music by suing them, but we have had great luck in getting sites like the Pirate Bay blocked in many countries, and especially when they're not on the home turf. The MPAA is obviously a U.S.-based organization, and for the rest of the world, they could probably honestly care less about the MPAA, but the MPAA has been very, very effective in having the courts basically mandate that they block the the Pirate Bay. Now, the folks that are going to pirate are going to pirate no matter what, because they're going to find their way around it. Now, not everyone and not every country is equally excited about measures that they have the MPAA is trying to pull. A Dutch court actually lifted the Pirate Bay blockade a few months ago, and but they continued to try to implement it in more places. Now, those of you that live down under, down in Australia, Hollywood's anti-piracy wish list was revealed through a leaked draft that various copyright groups plan to submit to the Australian government. Buried deep in the report is a rather intriguing statement that refers to internal MPAA research regarding website blocks. They say, recent research of the effectiveness of site blocks orders in the UK found that visits to infringing sites blocked declined by more than 90% in total during the measurement period, or by 74.5% when proxy sites are included. So, you know, they're talking about blocking proxy sites and Tor sites and so forth. So, really, in MPAA's own words, this is being effective, and it's shutting people down from basically stealing copyrighted material. They want this in more countries, so it's only a matter of time here before the MPAA makes a move towards website blocking in the United States. Now, whether that's a voluntary agreement or via the courts, or if they pay off some congressman to implement this, something is bound to happen. And I am sure there'll be lots of workarounds if it does happen. And again, I'm not saying people should steal copyrighted music or movies and stuff, but a lot of people do. And there will be people out there who will try to definitely work around it instead of, living with it with a blockade. But they continue to do what their charter is, and that is to make sure people pay for music and for movies. All right, Google today announced the launch of the first beta build 64 Chrome for Mac. So you Mac users, if you're a Chrome fan, this is outstanding. Adding 64-bit support to Chrome Canary for OS 10 is awesome. So the beta channel will have access to 64-bit Chrome. Will bring several speed and security improvements to the browser, in addition to decreasing the amount of memory it uses, which is outstanding. It really is, because I'm using Chrome right now. I've got 40 tabs opened up. And it uses a lot of memory, at least on my PC, in this mode. And I'm running a 64-bit version as well. All right, so go out there and get it if you're so inclined. All right, I don't often get articles from The Consumerist. But on consumerist.com, they've got a topic that's been near and dear to my heart that we've been talking a lot on this show lately. And talking how ISPs compete with the municipal networks lobbying and campaign donations that block them. And it talks about the things that are happening in small towns where you're a mayor of a small city. And if you are in a city that's far enough away from another city that the big cable companies don't want to spend money bringing service to, you know, you decide, hey, let's do our own. Let's roll our own. But in a lengthy feature, the Center for Public Integrity reports on just how heavily involved companies like Comcast, AT&T are in stifling the expansion of municipal broadband. The telecoms and cable companies wield outsized power in state local governments. The report finds it can make things very difficult for anyone that stands against them. So this is nothing new, though. Incumbent ISPs don't like publicly owned broadband. They argue that it's subsidized competition, which they shouldn't have to face. Now, earlier this year, AT&T executive testified at a Senate hearing that they didn't believe that private companies should actually compete against public subsidized taxpayer rollouts. And Comcast was saying the same thing. So over the coming months, we're going to have more representatives from these companies, AT&T, Charter, and so forth, that are going to be trying to get the bill that's in the House right now dropped. But it goes to show that the type of money they're spending, and talks about the pressures these small towns are under. So there's a, where is this, Tullahoma? I apologize. I don't know what city this is in. When Tullahoma, so is that in Oklahoma, began planning its fiber optic network in 2004, it got unpleasant real fast, said Steve Cope, who was mayor at the time. When you get into broadband and you've been stepping on the toes of some of the big boys, the AT&T and Charter's of the world, they don't want the competition and they'll do anything to keep it out. Doing anything is basically synonymous with spend a big amount of money. As it turned out, the CPI report went on to detail the campaign giving, lobbying, extensive advertising campaign that entrenched companies have used to get state legislatures to move in their favor. The CPI report also looks at the city of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Fayetteville is a fiber optic network running beneath the streets for use by hospitals, police, and other specific public work agencies. Neither residents nor businesses, though, are allowed to access it, even though Time Warner Cable, the local supplier, refused to upgrade their network or even connect parts of the city. One doctor told CPI that he pays Time Warner Cable $359 per month, and sounds like a familiar amount, for internet service to his private practice, but it was so slow and unreliable. He said that from a business perspective, he understands, you know, it affected him, but he understands why Time Warner Cable is hesitant to spend more in the area. But he told CPI, we still need a fast, fertile network that, and they have a not monopoly. And they act just like they are a monopoly. He says, I just think a little competition from the city would go a long way in getting better services for everyone. So you guys pay attention to your local legislatures and your state legislatures, and make sure that if municipal broadband is coming to your town, if you feel it's a worthy cause, stand up and fight for it. Competition's good. I don't care if it comes from the government or from local businesses. And that goes against, I'm not necessarily a big government type of guy, but I have seen municipal broadband networks in small cities. You know, the town that was next to where I grew up brought in muni broadband before there was even such a term. And they still, to this day, that's their only broadband provider in that town, because no cable company was willing to come in. No cable like a Time Warner or Comcast was willing to come in and serve a town of 12,000 people. So it's an interesting fight. It really, really is. All right, good article all over the internet about a police raid. This guy was gaming online, and he had his office near Denver, and he was doing some first-person shooter, or he's doing some sort of online game. And this guy is well known online. He was playing a popular title, Counter-Strike, when several officers entered the room and arrested him. But basically, someone called in a hoax to say there was called the police and claimed to have shot two coworkers and held other hostages and threatened to shoot them. He stated if officers entered, he would shoot them as well. So they rolled the SWAT team on this building, and there were no victims or evidence that shooting had taken place. But when the cops came in, and basically this term swatting's being used, they had their guns out and put him on the floor, handcuffed him, put a knee in his back, and all the while his live video's running, and it's pretty entertaining. I watched the video, you can see him like hearing something going on. He's playing, and next thing you know, he's, you know, hands go up and he's standing up and he's turning around and face on the floor, and you see the cops, you know, get their handcuffs out, and they, you know, it's real deal. And they're screaming at the guy, cussing him out, and so the game continued to play without him taking part. They think one of the gamers that he was playing against may have done the swatting, and this type of stuff is obviously if someone gets found out who it was, they'll end up they're going to get arrested. But it's a growing issue for people for police in the United States, in which hoax calls are made with the intention of sounding serious enough to provoke the SWAT or special weapons and tactic teams into deployment. And I don't understand how they're doing it. You know, how can that not be traced? You know, it's just, you know, like what they Skype or how are they making these calls? That's what baffles me. But definitely this guy got a bit of a surprise, and they actually went through his phone too, trying to figure out if he was one that called him or not. Of course, with everything that happened in Ferguson, Missouri, so focused in the news, there's been this new focus on whether or not the United States government should be supplying military-grade weapons and vehicles to local police departments. Well, we'll save that discussion for another time, but police are apparently having a problem finding all of the stuff that the government's been providing them from. And apparently, the U.S. government has put 184 state and local police departments on suspension from the Pentagon's what they call 1033 program. Basically, they're missing weapons. They haven't been complying with other guidelines. And what was uncovered was a pattern of missing M14 and M16 assault rifles. Amazingly, those two particular weapons across the country were missing, as well as an instance of missing 45 caliber pistols, shotguns, and two cases of missing Humvees. So when you start losing Humvees, you obviously have too much gear you're getting from Uncle Sam. But, you know, it appears that many of the suspensions occur in February after a police departments conduct their year-end weapons inventory. How do you, like, lose M14s and M16s? You know, how do you... is it, like, ended up in some... a law enforcement officer's personal collection, and you know, it to me is pretty incredible. But yeah, not only are we turning stuff over to him, we're losing stuff. Do you guys remember back a while back the guy that got tased by police while picking up his kids? And well, the guy that got tased in St. Paul, Minnesota, he got his phone back, and the video of that is online now, and a little bit of a get back by this guy to say, see what they did to me? All of us with our phones and our video, right? Ready to roll at a moment's notice. You know, my thing is I'm carrying around a phone and I'm thinking, my God, if I ever get a chance to shoot a UFO or, you know, to basically film a UFO or something really good, I'm probably going to be so excited I'm going to miss it, you know? So have you ever practiced like flipping into video mode? Mine's all in picture mode, and it's cool to take pictures, but video is a little more compelling and, you know, when you're trying to get something quick. But see how long it takes you. I bet you if you tried to do it when you're in a hurry or excited, you'd probably end up messing it up. Also, a good article about a gentleman who replaced his dying iPhone 5 battery on the recall program. It's kind of a dilemma of a story. Pretty good one. And it makes you go, hmm. So here's the lesson. If your phone is an iPhone 5 and you can get the battery replaced, when you call the Genius, or when you set your appointment up, make sure you call the Genius Bar and make sure they have batteries. And you better give them a couple hours once they get your phone, because that's what it takes. So don't just go in there and think it's going to happen in a swap. They actually do change the battery out at the store, and you get your phone back. So just be sure you make sure that they have batteries before you show up. Also, an article in Boing Boing, a customer was fined $250 for complaining. So Public Citizen is helping Cindy Fox sue Accessory Outlet. Now, be aware, if you guys go buy anything from these idiots, again, Accessory Outlet, they charged her $250 when she complained that an iPhone case hadn't shipped when promised. The company's rep told her that he'd fine her even more for emailing him to protest, adding an ominous, "You're playing games with the wrong people and have made a very bad mistake." Accessory Outlet claimed that a buried clause in its terms of service which prohibited any complaint, chargeback, claim, dispute, or making any public forum post, review, or better business bureau complaint, social media posts, or any public statement regarding the order or the website or any issue regarding the order for any reason would be charged $250. The young lady told Fox News that they would told Fox, who's Fox? Okay. Gave them right to levy the charge. Levy, duh. It's not, her name isn't Levy. And Fox, the lady, said they would report her to the credit bureaus if she didn't pay up, which would put a negative mark on your credit for 7 years. And they also said will also result in calls to your home and or work. Wow. Now, apparently, every one of Accessory Outlet's badges of merit from Better Business Bureau, Angie's List, etc. is fraudulent, and their picture of their well-lit, well-stocked store is actually a picture of a Korean Samsung store. Cox, undeterred, told the company not to threaten her and said that she would be contacting a lawyer and the Better Business Bureau. Accessory Outlet responded the next day, contact your lawyer, spend more time and money if you wish. You will be billed in the amount we will bill you and the, you will be billed in the amount we will bill you for will continue to rise with every email and every second we dedicate to correspondence of any kind pertaining to your breach of the terms of sale. Wow. So stay away from Accessory Outlet. Tell your friends about that too. All right, a couple of cool science pictures I have for you tonight. First glimpse of a young galactic core. Hubble's looking at a glimpse of a brand new galaxy forming. It's totally, and this is in the early universe. Some of this stuff blows my mind that they're able to see. Also, they've been able to detect vast streams of gravel, yes, dirt, in Orion Molecular Cloud, a long and winding road in space essentials for planet formation. How do they know that? They say astronomers using the National Science Foundation's Green Bank Telescope have discovered that filaments of star-forming gas near the Orion Nebula may be brimming with pebble-sized particles, planet building blocks, 100 to 1,000 times larger than the dust grains typically found around protostars. Okay, I'm like, okay, you can figure that out? Really? All right, ladies, this one's for you. Did you know there's an app for that? There's an app to help you conceive. So one lady tells her story about how an app helped her and 20,000 other women get pregnant. So the app that this woman fell in love with is called Glow. And again, it's an app that helps women conceive. And she says, I'd seen plenty of these cycling monitoring sites, cursive logos, a URL with fertility or ova, embedded in it, lots and lots of pink. So, but anyway, she had big reviews about this app called Glow. So I definitely, for the ladies out there that you're in process of with your mate, definitely try this app out, okay? And it basically uses some of the same techniques that women do to check their temperature and all that stuff, cycle counting, the whole nine yards. So cool, really, really cool. All right, this article I'm going to skip. I keep going long on the shows recently, and I'm not even halfway through the stuff tonight. I'm talking too much. So U.S. courts trash a decade's worth of online documents and shrug it off. Apparently, the administration office of the U.S. courts has removed access to nearly a decade's worth of electronic documents from U.S. appeal courts and one bankruptcy court. The removal is part of an upgrade to a new computer system from the database known as PACER, Public Access to Court Electronic Records. Court dockets and documents at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 2nd, 7th, and 11th and federal circuits, as well as a bankruptcy court for the Central District of California, were maintained with a locally developed legacy case management system. And the dockets are available, but you have to go in and get them now. So I used to be able to go on these websites and get them. So this is just craziness. You had to kill a system, and you now can only get it with paper. Wow. Google's Megan Smith is close to heading to the White House. Smith has been, looks like she may be a candidate for the role of the U.S. Chief Technical Officer. So maybe we'll actually have someone there that has actually some technical skills. Also, Amazon is announcing original shows will stream in 4K starting this October. How many of you have got a 4K TV? If anyone in this audience has a 4K TV, email me. Please, please. If any of you do, just say, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Todd, I have a 4K. I want to find out how many 4K TVs people actually have. I think that's just a gimmick, folks, at this time. No one has 4K TVs yet. We can't. The average person can barely afford these things. Moving right along here, Google has a new analytic, basically responsive design. It's basically if you come to a site on a mobile device, the site shrinks down so you can see the site. When Geek News Central relaunches, it's going to have a responsive design. That's a long story in the whole template thing, too. I'm changing directions. We're so slammed that I think I'm going to have to hire a third party to do the design. I've got the design. If any of you out there are web developers, you want to make a little money, email me because I got a job for you. So if your responsive design is, do you want to know if your responsive design is working? Google has a new tool and Google Analytics to be able to check it. So that's pretty cool. So Google Analytics is now monitoring sites that have responsive design. Too much to talk about here. What else have I got? In the UK, Uber has hit London black cabs with a 15% price drop. So basically, it's Uber's continuing its mission to wind up London's black cabbies with its convenient and affordable service. They announced it's cutting Uber X fare prices in the cab by 15%. So the cost of Uber Exec and Uber Lux tiers, both with progressively fancy cars, remain flat. But from 3 p.m. tomorrow, you pay 15% less on a trip in any basic Uber X class vehicle. Better yet, the minimum fare has also been reduced from £6 to a fiver, but the trade-off is prices will no longer be rounded down to the nearest pound. While this cut is bound to make Londoners happy, obviously there's going to be some other folks that are going to be a little bit upset, like the Licensed Taxi Driver Association. What are you buying on Amazon? Apparently, to Lifehacker, the worst things you can buy on Amazon are clothing, diapers, and batteries. You know what the people buy in Hawaii on eBay the most? Vitamins. I don't know why. Netflix is being rumored to offer Blacklist, The Blacklist. This is not a television show that I saw, but apparently NBC's The Blacklist saw a lot of success when its first season aired last year. And but apparently it's coming to Netflix. I'm not at all familiar with this series, so I'm going to have to check it out. Waz was in the news today believing that wearables are a hard sell, but if anybody can do it, Apple can do it. So we'll see where that goes. A mom's Facebook posting resulted in her son being expelled from school. Yes, her son was in preschool, and she made a post online about the school complaining about something. And the next day, they claim that because she utilized social media to call into the question not only the integrity but the intelligence of the staff, those actions are consistent with sowing discord, which basically is against something that was in their handbook. So they suspended her preschooler for the mom's Facebook status update. Wow. We're so sensitive these days. I found this report on Yahoo talking about Google Maps tracking every single step you take, and then I clicked the link to basically prove that they were doing that. It didn't. Maybe I'm not using Google Maps correctly, but apparently you can go to maps.google.com/location history, and it'll show you where you've been. Mine didn't, but if you want to change your settings, there's a link on how to do that within the article. All right. Okay, let's see here. I already talked about this. Apple's building a huge three-story structure at the site of the September 9th event. The Verge has a good article on 25 of the most amazing hyperlapse videos they've seen. Some are pretty cool. I think it was a little overrated. and what they were talking about here. NASA has greenlight plans to build the world's most powerful rocket. So NASA's program to build a heavy lift rocket capable of launching astronauts into deep space is moving from the design to the development phase. The Space Launch System, which is designed to have an unprecedented lift capacity of 143 tons, is scheduled to make its initial launch no later than 2018. But NASA has given the green light to do it, even though they don't have enough cash to build it. So we'll see where this goes and if they can get this thing on time. Facebook is getting a lot of fallout for forcing everyone to use the Messenger app, and people are not happy about it, including me. So they're trying to do damage control at this point, and I don't know if they're having any success with this. An article I was going to go really deep into a little bit was talking about the IRS and how it's being alleged now that they wiped the lady that's under all the controversy. Her name is Lois Lerner. Apparently, there's some controversy in that during some depositions that were made, they said that they wiped her BlackBerry after Congress's inquiry began. I'm sure there's nothing there. I'm sure everyone was, that was a simple mistake. Last time I checked, all government emails were supposed to be backed up. But anyway, that continues to make news. Microsoft has vowed to clean up its crapware-infested Windows App Store, and they've already moved about 1,500 apps from Windows Store from developers that failed to acknowledge Microsoft's new app certification requirements. So looks like every app store goes through this, some cleanup time. How many of you have a Keurig coffee brewer? Did you guys know that the new ones, the DRM, has been defeated? Well, this is big news here. Keurig's key patents expired in 2012, but Keurig designed a sophisticated anti-counterfeiting system for its latest brewers that scans a company's proprietary markings and immediately locks out any Opron capsules. Well, the new brewer's only been out for a couple months, and the folks at Mother Parker's Tea and Coffee says its latest Real Cup capsules are fully compatible with Keurig 2.0. It's not entirely clear whether Mother Parker's hacked around Keurig's counterfeit system or instead reached some sort of deal with Green Mountain, but this is big. And they basically take credit for ensuring continued freedom of choice for consumers. So I don't know specifically about this particular brand, but if you've been waiting off buying a new machine, there may be some alternative POGs or whatever they call those things that go in there. I don't have one of these machines myself. I've got a nice coffee grinder and a coffee pot that makes regular straight up coffee by the pot. Google is getting into the drone business too. They showed off their Project Wing delivery drone that they've been testing. I have a link up in that in the show notes. I'm sure that's going to go nowhere. And I think I'm going to wrap this up because I'm already looking at the clock here. There was a big protest in Apple's flagship store in San Francisco. Basically, the security guards complaining about underpay. And the protesters reportedly belong to the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, said Apple routinely underpays contractors such as security guards. The union also alleges that Apple hires contractors for part-time jobs to prevent paying employee benefits. No surprise there. That's happening all across the country. And just basically everyone is doing that. All these companies are doing that to get away from paying benefits. Google stops displaying content authorship and search results. You may not care about this, but for some of us bloggers, that's a pretty big deal. Sprint continues to roll out some cool stuff. Sprint is stepping up its game when it comes to offering more value for customers. Sprint on Thursday announced it'll offer free Wi-Fi calling to customers who travel overseas, who call the United States, Puerto Rico, or the Virgin Islands. As you might have guessed, Wi-Fi calling lets you make phone calls using your Wi-Fi network so you don't have to use a carrier cellular network. This obviously limits the need for national roaming. Thus, you'll save money on roaming charges as long as you're within range of a working Wi-Fi hotspot. And only certain phones work on this now, so check the details on that very closely. And the final two articles tonight, I found a pretty cool Kickstarter called OpenMix. It's the world's smartest audio mixer. It's a really slick device, and it uses two phones to basically mix beats. And those of you that do that kind of stuff will have a lot of fun with it. And finally, there's a laptop cord recall on HP, specifically Cords sold between September 2010 and June 2012 for HP and compact notebooks, as well as certain docking station. So there's a report on that, on which models have the recall. Kind of a crazy show tonight. I apologize for spending so much time at the beginning of the show and maybe having too much in the lineup tonight, running you guys long. I don't like to do that. The last three shows have went long. I don't think we had too much email come in, if any at all. Let's look here at the stack. And today is the 28th. Last show is on the 25th. Oh, yeah, we did have some stuff come in. Let's see here. Yeah, so that was on the 26th. All right, so I got an email from Tim. He sent me a Facebook link. And let me see if I can bring this post up for you guys. Oh, this is really, really cool. It's a transparent solar cell that could make every window and screen a power source. There's an article that Tim, one of our longtime Ohana members, found. And I thank Tim for sending me that link. That's a great way, guys, to send me links. Is if you find something and share it on your site, just tag me in the post, and I'll definitely get it. Also, I got a email from. Let's see, can I talk about this? Oh shoot! I don't know if I'm supposed to say who. Well, MS Small Biz says, "Hey Todd, have you looked at laptop pads that state they block EMF and RF from frying your private parts? Any chance you might be able to do a review and actually test these? There is a distinct difference in EMF and RF, and of course I know that. Two major products, and he sends me the links to these. I'll see if I can get some of these, MS. I'll see what I can do here. Because I could get access to some test gear to be able to actually see if they do what they do. So I'll see what I can. So thanks for the suggestion, and I'll work on that. I've got that starred in stack here. Also got an email. Okay. Basically. I guess I'm saying that a lot, basically. I need to get some sort of a beeper in here. Bing! So Steve says, so Todd, the basically continues. You really should listen to yourself. Here's a similar story. Adam Curry of No Agenda discovered that he constantly used the word essentially. As much as he used basically, he didn't realize it. So he listened to himself and was horrified. Now he's conscious of it and rings a little bell when he accidentally sells it. Great show, Todd. Keep up the good work. Yeah, I probably, it's subconscious. And to be honest with you, I don't listen to my shows. I'm too busy, and I will have to. I made a thought process, Steve, to really pay attention to it for a while. I've slipped. Thank you for reminding me. And I'll need to find an easy button or some stupid to punch here when I do that and catch myself. Also got an email from Jeff, and Jeff sent me a link to BGR.com. And Jeff, I apologize. I think I've missed some of your emails in the past. There's another Jeff that emails me stuff that is like junk. And sometimes I think I've seen stuff. I say, oh, Jeff, that's that junk stuff. And I deleted it and it's not. So if I've missed some of your stuff in the past, Jeff, I apologize. But Jeff sent over the Nexus X leak picture. And so that'll be up in the show notes. Definitely appreciate that submission. Jeff, I do appreciate it. And I've got you in a whitelist now so that I won't accidentally delete you. Another post came in from Tim talking about an infographic that shows the difference between diseases infographic shows the differences between the diseases we don't, oh my God. You can tell I'm actually pretty tired tonight. And I can't talk at the end of the show. Let me try this one more stupid time. Infographic shows the difference between the diseases we donate to and the diseases that kill. Yeah. And it's kind of funny. The stuff that we donate to definitely doesn't kill us. That's the main point of the article. I want to thank Kathy for her submission about the JP Morgan hack. I definitely appreciate that, Kathy. And another woman to the audience. I definitely love it when we have the ladies send stuff in. So I definitely appreciate that. And also, If any of you are big camera fanatics, I'm going to put up a product link of a product that I'm really excited about that I use from time to time. They didn't have a completion of a Kickstarter, but they're going to be using a site called Pre-Launch to basically launch a new type of holder for XLR and smaller cameras. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you guys to check out as an added bonus for me as something that you may want to invest in on a pre-launch. Okay, so I'm back. I'm not going to leave you with the screen up like I did last time. And so that's going to wrap us up today. If you got value out of the show, I don't know if you got value tonight. I was like totally destroyed this thing. I hope you did. And the last 10 articles are like flying through. I need to cut my list down again and get a little overzealous. Please become part of our GNC 1000. Become an insider. Support the show. We definitely appreciate it when you do. Donations go a long ways, a long, long ways. If you guys notice, we have completely cut out many of the giveaways we used to do. We're trying to be budget conscious and not, every donation that comes in is used in the production and everything that we do at Geek News Central. Matter of fact, the donations right now are used in part to pay for our bloggers that are writing. So definitely continue to support the show. We're going to continue to grow this as much as we can. We're on the march to 1,000, so be part of our GNC 1,000. As we get past the 1,000th show, obviously we can take that where it needs to go. But it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. I will be back with you on Saturday with a new media show if you want to watch that or not. I'll be back with you here on Monday. Same time, same place. Show is released every Tuesday and Friday morning. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your patience with me tonight. And especially it's one of those nights where you're just like, man, let's hit stop. So with that, let's hit stop. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening again. Aloha, everyone. Bye-bye.